It's time for Tonia's Kitchen, taking you around the world of food and wine. Here is Tonia King.
Joining me today is Chef David Becker from Sweet Basil in Needham. And David, you are part of the Tanglewood Wine and Food Classic this year, so it's a pleasure to chat with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, you know, you really are an interesting guy from what I've been reading, and so I'm fascinated by your restaurant in Needham. I haven't checked it out yet, and I know you have two restaurants now, don't you?
Yeah, they're right in the next town over. We just opened up an Eastern Mediterranean restaurant called Juniper.
You are part of the dinner going on at Saranac that I'm excited to be attending again this year. Tell me what your plans are for the menu.
So for the first course, we're going to be doing a braised octopus with like an apple jicama slaw. And when I was speaking with Chris at Cane Vineyards, he was adamant about making sure that, you know, he has some like really interesting red wines, and it kind of has like a cult following. And he was almost iconoclastic with his decisions and what he likes to lean toward. So I think a lot of times when people think of big California red wines, they think of lamb chops or a steak or,
right,
you know. And he was just really drawn to, like, seafood and, you know, acidic dishes, which aren't traditional. But, as soon as I tasted his wine, I was basically like, this is going to make my job very, very easy.
You know, that interests me, because do you sample the wines first before you're developing the menu, or are you coming up with the menu and allowing him to pick the wines? What happens first?
Well, typically, it could go either way when you're doing a wine dinner, but I think, because their vineyard actually only makes three wines, that we kind of had to go around their wine instead of it being like, I'm going to come up with some food and you pair your wine with it. It was more like, here are the three wines that we actually only make.
So like,
you know, when you start there, it's like, I had to take their word for it with what they thought would go. And then, you know, we looked at the menu together and then just figuring out what might be a real crowd pleaser too.
So tell me about the next course then.
So the next course is going to be it's going to be a vegetarian soup. So it'll be like, and I'm thinking of some of the dishes as we're planning it, it's like earlier in the summer, but there's a guarantee that tomatoes are going to be kind of like coming along right into their prime season, and then corn, and it's like all these things that like are almost built-in nostalgia for what dishes you think of for like a beautiful summer night.
Oh yeah.
So it's like I was going to do like a light tomato broth with some roasted mushrooms, maybe chanterelles, and then just to give it like some depth that doesn't just taste like a traditional, you know, vegetarian soup, I'm going to put some seaweed in the broth.
Oh.
I heard them use the term umami more than once, and it's like usually it's when you think of umami, it's like you get some, caramely, mushroomy, and then seaweed always kind of has that where it's like you just can't really put your finger on where the flavors are coming from, but you know it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was thinking of having it being like a little light summer brothy soup, but put some like meaty, flavorful flavors in there so it's not just, a vegetarian soup.
Yeah.
A little more than that.
No, it sounds really interesting. I'm looking forward to trying it. Let's continue on. What else are you making?
For the third course, we are going to be doing braised chicken, like a braised chicken thigh. We're going to do it like kind of slowly cooked in olive oil, so it's kind of like confit.
Mm.
So like, you won't really need a knife to eat it. It should be almost like a condiment. And I'm doing some like tea poached apricots. And this is, kind of borrowing from our Middle Eastern flavors from Juniper more than anything. They seemed intrigued, and we're going to make all of our own couscous. I have an extruder, and we basically have an attachment for, like, a very small cut of pasta that comes out like couscous, but I think it's kind of cool that we make it in-house.
Absolutely.
So we're going to do, like, some turmeric and, some Middle Eastern spices that go with that, and it'll be the tea-poached apricots and then some candied almonds that are on the top, and I think that'll all go really well. I'm excited. I think that all the dishes are good. They're kind of, like, showcasing the Hall of Fame dishes from Juniper.
Great. You know what else really fascinated me about you is that you also enjoy making your own plates. You do pottery.
I love it.
How cool is that?
Like, I don't know if you've ever worked in a restaurant or, anyone who has, they know it's like pretty, it's pretty high stress. It's like a lot of adrenaline.
Oh, yeah.
Flowing. And even on like a Monday night tonight, there's a good chance like something, you know, awful will go wrong, and then you just keep your fingers crossed that nobody noticed, and but then at the end of the day when you're driving home, you're just kind of like, whoa, that was a close call. I think that every chef has an outlet, and I'm sitting next to the head chef here at Sweet Basil, and he's an avid fisherman, and I've actually been meaning to grow worms for him. I have a worm farm in my yard, and I'm trying to like come in with bags of worms for him.
Oh, that is funny, a worm farm. All right, go ahead.
You've never heard, I picture Western Mass being all about that. It's like they eat everything. They eat cardboard boxes. You can throw banana peels. I even had like a takeout. You know, every time I say this, it's like people are like, you eat Burger King? I'm like, rarely, but every now and then. This is actually tipping my hat to, like, Burger King, but they have compostable packaging now. And I had their brown paper bag, and I put it right on, and I took pictures every day for Instagram and showed, like, a time-lapse photograph of the worms eating a Burger King bag, and they turned it into fertile, lush soil.
Oh, my gosh.
2 weeks.
Oh, that is really funny.
You know, but I'm, like, thinking of, I don't know how it happened, but it's, like, I just kind of started making pottery and, like, loved it almost immediately. It was just, like, you know, it just takes you away. It's definitely considered, like, a meditative art.
Oh, yeah. You know? But, I mean, how do you find time to do that along with, you know, having two restaurants?
Well, I haven't been doing much of it lately, but I'd say if, you know, and it's also not exactly a, you know, it depends on where you do it, but the studio that I work out of, it isn't exactly a summertime activity. It's,
well,
like the kilns are going.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, no matter how many fans you blow on on your work or your forehead, you're actually just uncomfortable the whole time.
So do both of your restaurants have your dishes?
Yeah, both of them have a bunch. And I'd say I've started to incorporate other local potters.
No kidding. That's really cool.
Yeah, a few of them. You know, I don't think I'm one of those, like, persnickety chefs. I think a lot of, if you start out with quality stuff and they start out with quality stuff, like, you really, you know, just between the two products, like, you're not, I think everything kind of goes with everything as long as it's made with real care and experience.
Find out more on The Daily Dish at TonyIsKitchen.com.